It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Miami.
Yeah, they got a chance to make a statement.
And they're at home in Gainesville.
Yeah, I was listening to a little radio talk.
But I don't necessarily think that they will do that.
Well, I've heard others who aren't as convinced. They're like me. They're like, Miami, prove it to us. We've been hearing about this resurgence forever.
Right.
And they're not ready to write off Florida State in the ACC.
It's hard.
Because, again, Dabo's got to, I mean, come on. Hit him, too.
Right.
Like, show us. Y'all talking
about it. It is hard.
Talk.
I will say it's hard to fade an SEC team at home against Miami, right?
Yeah.
Getting points plus 2.5. I mean, but man, I mean, Florida has just been dreadful. They have just been so bad the last few years. Like, they just haven't had the quarterback play. You know, they just haven't. You know, Anthony Richardson is the only guy they had, and he didn't even play that much, right? Like, he didn't play nearly enough. So you've just been going through this turnstile of QBs since then. So I mean, that's the biggest thing, right? Like, if you look at a coach that's struggling, there's going to be a theme. The theme's going to be he doesn't have a great quarterback. Arkansas is Sam Pittman is the other guy that's on the hot seat. He had that 9-4 year in 2021, and it's been downhill since. 7-6 in 22, 4-8 last season. So, again, that makes sense to me. Group of five hot seats. East Carolina, Mike Houston on the hot seat. Mike Bloomgren at Rice. Stan Drayton at Temple. And Biff Poggi, who says that 50% of his starters are hurt this week against James Madison.
Yeesh.
So those are the guys that he mentions in the AAC. A lot of new openings apparently coming up.
We haven't talked about Saturday's big one on ABC, Clemson and Georgia.
Yeah, that's
any reason to believe that'll be exciting? 13.5, Georgia's favorite by.
I mean, that tells you everything.
Dabo going to jump back on here.
I'm not holding my breath.
And prove that he can just develop his guys. I mean,
It's kind of tempting to take Clemson in a way with that big number. You know, it's a neutral or it's no.
That one is in Georgia.
Okay, so it's not
Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This is not neutral.
Oh well, I mean, it kind of is.
Not really.
Yeah, I mean,
it's in Atlanta, bro.
Clemson fans there, though.
Sure.
You know, but no, you're right. I mean, it's going to be a predominantly Georgia crowd. Yeah, I mean, I have nothing here. I have no reason to believe that Georgia can't do whatever they want against pretty much anybody with their team.
I don't understand why we can't have games like this last week.
Agreed. At least just one, right?
Like we talked about, there's such a window there with no NFL to really have a splash college football opening weekend. You know, even game day's going to Dublin for you now. And, you know, the Georgia Tech wasn't even ranked. I mean, like, can we get a game like this? You know, Georgia-Clemson, can we do that? And you could sprinkle them all through the day. Like, I don't understand why college football can't recognize. But, again, who's moving towards that other than the television executives? Because you don't have that czar that sees the value of cashing in on college football early while the NFL's kind of sleep with preseason. Now, who's pushing towards that? Just seems like a no-brainer. You know, get you some big ones to open up the season with a bang.
Barnhart said last night, unlike basketball, which the NCAA runs because of the tournament, he said the SEC and the Big Ten essentially run this joint, and that's how this is working. That's why you get ACC owning last weekend, and then you get these cupcakes. They might go to 9, you know, conference games next year in the SEC, but he said that was one of the main points he made last night. And, you know, the NCAA doesn't have much to do, if anything, now with the college football playoff.
Yeah.
This is a fact. NCAA ain't part of that product.
No, they have no power.
No, it's all zero. It's a different person altogether.
But you're right, Jason. Group. There's no Czar, and the Czars are the big cats, those two big conferences, you know.
Well, it's long needed.
Yeah, because
Sankey ain't interested in giving anybody any power when he's wielding most of the power himself.
Yeah, he's the power boy.
So why, if you're a commissioner, you don't want a boss right now.
That's
right now, you're the one calling the shots.
That's right.
You have LSU USC on Sunday, right? So that's one you could have put week zero on a Saturday, you know, and it would have been the prime time. But I guess, you know, there's nothing going on Sunday, so like, why don't we just put a game here? They did that a couple of years ago. I remember, like, Florida State and Ole Miss, you know, back in, like, 2016, 2017, something like that.
And then the other ranked one is Notre Dame and Texas A&M. And a lot of people think if Notre Dame wins that game, they're going to cement its spot just right there on top. Remember, no conference championship, and you're assuming, based on what we saw against Georgia Tech, that Notre Dame can roll with and possibly beat Florida State. So that's going to be, you know, that's a huge one for them right off the bat. It's, you could argue it's a playoff game for Notre Dame, and it's season opener at Texas A&M.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, exactly.
And their quarterback, too, is the old Texas A&M quarterback, too, right?
Oh.
He
transferred?
Or the coach is, or something along those lines. That's it. Yeah, the coach knows the new Notre Dame quarterback.
Yeah, Mike Elko.
Elko had
Mariah
him.
Ryan Leonard.
Correct.
Yeah.
So he knows his weaknesses and everything else. It's an interesting matchup. And, again, a huge game for Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame if they want to. Because you lose this one, there's not enough games left on the schedule to really impress. Of course, they can't win a conference championship, so they need to be stacked with big wins. And this one might be as big as they can get if Florida State's going to fall off. Now, hopefully Mike Norvell's not going to allow that to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's the hot seat report there from Pete Thamel on college football. We'll talk to Jeff Calkins at 125, get his thoughts on the game week for Memphis and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, this is Bob Kessling inviting you to follow all the exciting action of Tennessee football all season long. 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis's sports station. Tennessee opens the season Saturday against Chattanooga at Neyland Stadium. Ball Network coverage starts at 9:45 a.m. Kickoff set for 11:45.
92.9 FM ESPN is the Mid-South's home of college football and the SEC. Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Wing Guru has, of course, the best wings in Memphis. No debate about that. I mean, y'all can waste your breath arguing about it, but there's no point. The flavors, the premium flavors, are unparalleled. Not going to find them anywhere else. My go-to, as I always tell you guys, is the garlic sriracha. I've been rocking with garlic sriracha for years now, and I see no reason to change. I'm not going to change. But they got other flavors there. They got the honey gold. They got the honey suicide. They have the triple J, can't catch cow. They have it all at the Wing Guru. Go see it and go see them today.
They're the best. I usually get the 10 boneless seasoned fries, and I do it Nashville hot. My son, he's a Nashville hot guy too, but he'll turn it all the way up. Chris, like, he'll go suicide heat level. I'm not that brave. Billy's tried to get me to try the really hot stuff too. It's just not my lane. I like to stay in my lane at the age of 47. I like what's comfortable for me. Again, that Nashville hot does it for me. Triple J, too, though, I would recommend. That's that Jaren Jackson Jr.-inspired flavor that Billy's got. Again, remember, he has put these flavors together with his own hands. You know, this wasn't something he saw on a recipe or, you know, he's a mad scientist in the kitchen, essentially, for years to put these flavors together. It's his life's work. It's why he's so great. It's why the Wing Guru has grown the way it has. So when you see Billy Richmond in these Memphis streets, you tell him that Jason and John sent you.
By the way, you know, we were talking earlier about this player survey, this quarterback survey up at ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. We talked a lot about the overrated and underrated, but, you know, it was very close when they were asked which rookie quarterback will have the most successful career.
I didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, you glossed over that. Is it because it was so close? Or is it because you just don't want to put it into existence yet?
No. No. But it wasn't one of the highlights for me.
Well, they were asked, you know, who was the rookie quarterback who will have the most successful career? And Caleb Williams did get the majority of the vote. He got 34 votes, but it was close. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels was right behind him.
It scares me.
At 30. And because, you know, I think you've seen it. You've seen Jaden Daniels, and that's why maybe, you know, you're feeling a certain kind of way about it. NFC South player said Daniels is in a good situation. It's a new ownership group and a new coaching staff, and a lot of that's going to be built around him and what he can do. Everybody's going to say Caleb, but, bro, you realize you've got all that pressure. There's a difference when you got that pressure, and he put that pressure on himself. So if he doesn't come out here like Patrick Mahomes level, then he's a bust in everybody's eyes. Now, that's not necessarily true, is it?
No.
Yeah, I think that's a little overstating it.
But maybe Caleb sees it that way. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If he's not throwing for 300, 400, does Caleb see it as, you know, I'm not living up to my expectations, so let me try to do more, and then you get yourself off script and out of team, and you become a loser.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And what can clearly happen is that Jaden Daniels can be better. Like, that can happen.
Yep.
He has the tools. He has everything you need, and that's what scares me. We spent so much time, once we knew the Bears were going to take Caleb Williams at one, we moved off this. But remember, I'd openly discussed it, the Bears needed to at least think about the possibility of trading back to two, taking a haul from the Commanders or anybody else that wants to come, but really for the Commanders, to get a haul for them to come up and get Caleb. We go back and we do what Houston did.
Mm-hmm.
We get the guy that's better, but we don't get him in the first spot. And so you're not paying that premium, and more importantly, you get an absolute haul from Washington, maybe including a future pick. You know, now you would have had to hope Washington was settled that Caleb Williams was the guy, the number one, and that they would have come up. But my point is, there was a way to play this where the Bears, for the second consecutive season, could have got another first rounder, and you end up with Jaden Daniels, who I've been telling you since November, I couldn't wait till he got in the NFL and we see what this guy can do because he looks otherworldly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just as high on Jaden Daniels as I am Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Obviously, one of them's mine, and so as a fan, you're going to go all in. But, dude, there is a chance we got the wrong one. There's a good possibility that the right one to get was Jaden Daniels. Just like last year, the right one to get ended up being C.J. Stroud instead of Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could happen, and I'll be honest with you, I'm scared of it. Frankly, it would be the Bears' luck that that's what would happen, that Jaden would go on to have the Hall of Fame career.
Yep.
The Bears never put together a good plan for Caleb Williams, or he just never gets it, you know, in his chase for greatness, and we turn out we got the wrong guy again. Now, that could be, that's a definite possibility.
Bro. It is. Michael Penix, or I should go in order here. Caleb Williams got 34 votes. Jaden Daniels got 30. J.J. McCarthy got 10 votes. Penix got 8, and Bo Nix got 8.
Yeah, I was surprised to see McCarthy so high.
Yeah, I mean, it was one half, basically, of action, but maybe they just think the pedigree and
the winner, what they saw of him do at Michigan. But he's not, he's not a passer of the ball. He'll have to develop into that.
What I'll say about Bo Nix is that I just don't know what he's shown to anybody yet that could compel you to have a super strong opinion about him. I mean, we talked about this yesterday, but you're going against second-team, third-team defenses. Actually played Seattle minus 5.5 week one.
Just because he hasn't done it against regularly yet against a first-team defense doesn't mean that they didn't handle this absolutely correctly. Like, there's another part of it that says build him up. Mm-hmm. You know, coming off of all that college experience that he has.
Yeah.
You know, put him in. And that's what they did.
Well,
they were playing him in second half.
You can't force other people to play their first-team defenses.
Know, I think you're being a little heavy, and it goes back to yesterday. And when I was listening to you, it was almost like, yeah, I think you being a little heavy on, you're right, jury's still out on Bo Nix, but I ain't ready to say this guy's not going to be. Dude, what he's shown has looked great. He's had one of the highest passer ratings, and I realize second and third string, there's a chance the way they've built him up. He's going to be ready for these first-string defenses in a way that maybe you're not prepared for.
Yeah.
Dude can do the Drew Brees stuff, bro. All right, 1-2-3, get it out.
Right.
Or 1-2-3, what Brees couldn't do at the end of, you know, with his time with Sean Payton was get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
This guy can.
Yeah.
And it's something that Sean Payton's been looking for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, do I believe Sean Payton when he says that I think Patrick Mahomes on this guy? You know, no. But could he be their guy, the right guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a good chance he might be.
He could be, for sure.
With Sean Payton.
But I played Seattle minus 5.5 week one.
Well, you love Geno and that backup.
I do. I think Geno is underrated. But no, really what it boils down to is just that defense, right? That defense at home, Lumen Field. It's a tough ask, man.
Took one of their pass rushers.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, Daryl Taylor. He's more of a situational pass rusher.
Yeah.
Only played on 44% of their defensive snaps, but we got him from Seattle.
But
he's kind of their odd man out of their linebacking crew.
Rookie quarterbacks in week one are historically dreadful, especially on the road, like against the spread. There was I had the numbers. I don't exactly remember what they are now, but they're historically very, very bad. And so I think that's, you know, a big part of it. Yeah, so 2-18-1 straight up and 5-15-1 against the spread in their last 21 week through three games. So last 21 week one through three games, 5-15-1 are rookie quarterbacks against the number. That means if you bet against them, you fade them, you're winning at a 75% clip. So there's a reason for that.
I don't like that news.
So yeah. But again, Levis is like kind of a rookie too in a lot of ways.
Oh, no, he's not a rookie.
He's kind of a rookie.
They believe. They believe in a way that, you know, you can tell. They think he's the guy, teammates.
Who else would that be? That would be Caleb Williams. So you take Titans plus 4.5. You would take...
Jaden's got. I don't know who they're up with.
Yeah, you take... yeah, it's a good question. I don't even know off the top of my head either. But, I mean, they're probably going to be given quite a few points, would be my guess. Let's see. Who the Commanders got week one? They play the Bucks, so you take the Bucks minus 3.5 at home. Seahawks minus 5.5. Who are the other rookies here?
That's it, because Drake May is not starting, and neither is J.J. McCarthy.
Is that announced? We know that it's Brissett for sure.
No, but I'm assuming.
It could be.
There is no way they're putting Drake May out there as a rookie.
Right.
That unfinished, unprofessional offense that they've got.
I agree. That would be a joke.
You're going to get him. Yeah, and we just did this with Mac Jones. We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah.
So I would assume, yes, that Jacoby Brissett, who they said I think is coming back from this injury, is going to be fine.
Yeah.
And ready to start.
Well, he has not looked fine whatsoever.
They ain't trying to win. That's what
they're not trying to win.
We've got to continue to tell ourselves.
They're not trying to win.
They want the one pick.
Exactly. They're going to be bad again. Anyway, we'll talk to Jeff Calkins, get his thoughts on Memphis football this week and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.5 ESPN.
On Sunday, September 8th, the Dallas Cowboys of the NFL begin the 2024 season live on 92.9 FM ESPN. Pregame begins at 3 p.m. with kickoff at 3:30. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys take on Myles Garrett and the Cleveland Browns. The Cowboys and the NFL live Sundays on 92.9 FM ESPN. The Gabe Kuhn Show, weekdays from 4 p.m. till 7 p.m.
Jim Harbaugh, he deflected a question regarding his four-year show cause penalty from the COVID recruiting situation that unfolded at Michigan in his last couple of years. But did you see what Michigan football did in response to the show cause and everything else that's happening with Jim Harbaugh? Michigan football's planning to honor Jim Harbaugh during the upcoming football season, making him an honorary captain for the August 31st opener. Is this not Michigan just throwing up the biggest middle finger to the NCAA? Like, we don't care about your damn rules. We don't give a damn. They're still sort of playing the victim in these moments. For them to run him out game one after all of these things have hit the fan, it'll be after Connor Stallion speaks about the sign-stealing investigation. After all that, Michigan's just saying, yeah, we're going to bring him back. He's going to be honorary captain game one. We don't give a damn about what your rulings were.
92.9 FM ESPN's Gabe Kuhn Show. Well, the only lineman on the radio, Gabe Kuhn. Weekdays from 4 p.m. till 7 p.m.
Stop asking me stupid fucking questions.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokesman. Puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Calkins is the host of Jeff Calkins Show. Thomas for David FBN. He, him. This is Thursday on Tuesday with Jeff Calkins. Very original thing I've come up with. He joins us now. Hello, Jeff.
Are you moving me permanently to Tuesday?
Oh, no, man. I mean, I'm just trying to survive. You know what I'm saying? It's really,
I do.
It's just, it's like Tuesdays are just a typically very tough day to think about who do I want to get. Like, it may be in the cards, you know?
I I feel disrespected. I'm just like the middle reliever who you just throw in wherever to soak up innings, and you know we just got to get to. Yeah, I feel like booty call. Thank you very much.
That's
what he's saying.
You're the dependable.
That is 100% what he's saying. Booty call.
You're dependable, but you're also productive and good. You know, it's just we're trying to figure out the best.
Unlike Ryan Hollins.
We're trying to figure out the best spot for you. I was saying to start the show, I understand as today why, you know, you used to not enjoy asking people to come on the show, you know. Like, I used to, like,
It's a silly thing, though. Like, it's literally why I stopped doing the TV show. I did that TV show on WKNO, and I did it once a week. It was just once a week. All you had to do was ask people to come in the studio and interview them, you know? Like when Greg Gaston took it over after I quit, and he's like, let's amp the guests. We'll get two guests to show. I literally quit because I didn't want to impose on one. I don't like imposing on people. I think there are two kinds of people. There are people, no one really likes imposing on people, right? But some people don't think they're imposing on people. I go back to my own friend George Lapidus. When George would ask someone to be on his show or interview him or whatever else, he thought he was doing him a favor. You know, like he thought if he. I remember one day I was at David Gossett, who was a great golfer, youth golfer in Memphis growing up. I was walking along talking to his dad, and it was at the golf tournament, and I kind of was reluctant to walk up to Mr. Gossett, and he was watching his son play golf, but I did finally, and we're talking to him. George just comes swooping in, puts his arm around Mr. Gossett, and just walks him away from me, you know, like, and he just thought it was a great, like, of course Mr. Gossett wants to be talking to me. It's like great salespeople. Great salespeople don't think to themselves, oh, they don't want to buy this Peloton or these vacuum cleaner or whatever else. This is a terrible thing. I got to try to sell this car. They think that they are doing you a favor. If I sell you this vacuum cleaner, it's going to change your life. So it's not that they just have a better ability to do something that's distasteful. They don't think it's distasteful. They think it's. And I think there are fundamentally two kinds of people there. And some make great salesmen, don't. Some don't. And some make great radio bookers, and some don't. And put me down in the list of those who don't.
Jeff, I was going to ask you, will you take over complete emceeing duties for our Hall of Fame class now, with Jarvis actually having to go over to the other side and get inducted?
So, well, first of all, it's not just me and Jarvis. It's me, Wolo, and Jarvis.
Of course. I left out Wolo, the great Wolo.
Have been doing it. So it's possible that it's just going to be me and Wolo.
The two of you. Gotcha.
Although, Jarvis is so critical to the enterprise. He has such enthusiasm, such joy, such profound knowledge of what he's talking about, that I can totally imagine a world where Jarvis will also be emceeing. He'll just go sit down when he's inducted, and then he'll leap right back up and continue to emcee. I'd probably want Jarvis to be. I would want that enthusiasm and joy. It is sort of interesting, though. You raise an interesting point. Jarvis, I heard, was listening to your show earlier because I'm an avid listener of the show. I was sitting there at Taco Bell eating a cheesy gordita crunch listening to you talk about this. And Jarvis is retired, so he's eligible, right? But he's not really retired.
Not really.
Like, he's...
We still hear his voice, right? That's what makes him not retired. We still see him. He's active, and he's weighing in. Yes, he's listening. He's
doing
tweeting.
Memphis football. Yep. He's over at the Grind City Media.
That's right.
He still has two paid media gigs, right?
Right.
So I would ask you this. Should Wolo be eligible? Like, Wolo is... He's not doing what he wants. Dobolo was once a TV news guy, I mean, you know, a weekend anchor or something too, wasn't he? Like he did that. Now what he does, he's cut his radio show down to an hour, and he still does the Tiger basketball. But he's as semi-retired as Jarvis, right? If Jarvis is eligible, shouldn't Wolo be eligible? I just mean pure on eligibility grounds. Shouldn't they both be? If one is eligible, shouldn't the other be eligible?
I think Wolo's got a pretty good case that he should be eligible. I was thinking about this. On the media guys, maybe you don't want to wait until they're retired, right? Especially the ones like Phil that have put in the work.
Yeah.
Some of these, you're right. They could keep going.
You're semi-retired. Why aren't you eligible?
I'm not as retired, I've just kind of, I'm still working at 80, 90%. So,
okay.
But I have from my job as the sports columnist, I'm kind of retired.
Well, no, right? No, let's be clear about it. You're not that anymore.
Who's the next, who's the next sports?
No, I am going to go to Saturday's Memphis football game and write a column.
Okay. Right.
Because I just think it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's
Dude, let's throw it back.
I'm going to interview the hole.
Get the mic out and interview the hole.
It's not really a hole anymore.
Oh, it's a hole. It's a hole. It's a gaping hole. It's not a hole. Well, I'm just saying
It's definitely it's like
there's
Tetris.
Missing.
There's a piece out of it, but it's, I guess you could call it a hole. But you're right, Jeff. Like that, those 25 rows of seats or whatever that you had been saying are going to be, they're back. I mean, it kind of looks. No, it's just an open-ended. You've seen some NFL stadiums that have that open end. We just have ours in our side.
An like open
you,
middle.
Like you
we
were
just
shocked.
Have an open
right.
middle.
Right. Right. Like right.
I guess technically
you know
I can't push
like?
It.
No, it's been disemboweled.
It's a hole, but it's...
We in the Liberty Hole!
Looks like a hockey player who's had a front teeth knocked out.
That's exactly
you know?
Like what, yes. Yes.
You can see right through there.
We can do like a live report. I'm standing right here in the middle of the hole of the Liberty Bowl.
It is true. Back when I had to write four columns a week, I would very often interview inanimate objects, make up fake inanimate objects.
I love this. You should interview the Coliseum about what it thinks about what's going on over there. Yeah, with its old buddy.
Southwind. Southwind, the golf course, once when everyone shot 62s or some tournament. Back when it was not the very difficult golf test that it is now. I interviewed it, and I wanted to know how it felt, because everyone said it was easy, And so I did that. I think I interviewed the pyramid. I did. I interviewed the pyramid, which was getting disrespected once. I could interview the whole. But I'm interested to go. I don't think this particular matchup is one, even though it's a highly anticipated season. Listen, they beat North Alabama 59-0 2 years ago in a season that was, let's be honest, disappointing, right? So if they beat them again 59-0, that won't be a reason to think that they're necessarily going to get into the college football playoff, right? So there's only so much meaning that you can put into the game. But I am interested in the level of excitement, which we've heard about all summer. How is that going to translate? But I'm also just interested in how this whole thing's going to work, What's it going to be like walking in there? What's the logistics going to be like? What's the vibe going to be like? I think it's going to be a whole new thing is what it's going to be. And so I'm going to go and try to capture that.
Yeah. It should be a fun atmosphere at the very least. We'll get used to it. We always do. At least for me, I'm thinking of ways to attack this. But what do you sort of expect from Memphis's side of this? Like, do you think it's one of those things where, you leave the starters out there until like the end of the game and just try to score 70?
No, they won't do that. But first of all, here's what I do expect. I expect complaints, right? Because even in the best in non-football first category, because even in the best of times when they didn't have a hole, when they had knew they'd been running the same stadium for 10 straight years and it was the next straight year and nothing had changed, whatever else, you would still have complaints about traffic, about logistics, about, oh my God, how many times have we heard about the ticket takers, right? Like, or not, or whatever, like all of that. So now you've got all these additional logistics. I think there's going to be complaints, but it won't even be anyone's fault. Like, and I'm not sure they'll be whatever, but I think there will be. So I it's nice the game's at 6 because it gives people a chance to get in there, it's not a noon game. People get in whenever they want at their leisure, and maybe that'll make it easier. In terms of the, in terms of the football, no, I imagine the starters will play into the, well into the third quarter. And then it'll be mostly scrubs in the fourth quarter or backup players in the fourth quarter, right? I mean, don't you think? They're not going to be – I don't think you could score many points with, voters by running it up against North Alabama, if that's what you mean.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I thought that until John told me earlier this show. I'm with you. I thought that up until John told me earlier in this show. Two years ago, he played them all the way through, or pretty much took them out the last.
Did he?
Yeah, last year against Bethune-Cookman.
And then to your point, yeah, committee's not going to be super impressed if it's 70-0 as opposed to 59-0. But still,
right.
Don't you want domination? I mean,
you want
them
to be persuasive.
100%. Yes,
they will play them until it's a rout. That's
no question.
True.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, Seth Hennigan
can't leave any doubt.
Right.
I mean, Tevin Carter only threw two passes in this game.
Yeah.
Last year, 56-14. Seth Hennigan threw 36.
Well, and you didn't have a committee to impress last year.
56-14 is about, that's fine. I don't think that's like crazy route. That's about what it should be.
You said it was 59-0 2 years ago against this team, right?
Against, yes.
And in the third quarter, then I think you would go ahead and maybe start thinking about making some changes.
Because you do got to be careful. I mean, you just don't want Seth out there, and then, my gosh, could you forgive yourself if he got hurt late in the fourth quarter? I mean, we would go nuts. We would go nuts.
But you also, honestly, you also do want to, I mean, I hate to say this, you're kind of in this business. You want Steph to put up massive stats, because you want Steph to be, you know, he's not going to win the Heisman or win the, you know, any of the quarterback awards because he's a group of five quarterback, and that's almost unheard of at this point. It really is unheard of at this point. But he can put up massive stats. He can be in consideration. There's value in having people talk about him and talk about that Memphis offense and all of that. So I do think you want them to put up serious stats. And I think you also want to be attractive. Like, all of this is true. There is a beauty contest element to there's a beauty to conference realignment. There's a beauty contest element. You want to be perceived as a power. And so I can see, I don't mean until they drop deep into the, you know, till the last drive, but I guess John has a point. I can definitely see them. They will certainly be played until it's a blowout.
Yeah, I think they will. And so that's why we're on the over, kids. We're on the over.
You're on the over.
Oh, yeah. Love the over a lot. Not a little, but a lot.
A lot.
Because I do not necessarily believe that Memphis' defense is going to be transformed holistically. I think they're going to have they're going to allow a score or two. And Memphis' offense probably scores 56 to 63 points. So I think I like the over of 61.5. I mean, Memphis could clear that on their own. It is within the realm of possibility. So I do think I like the over better than I like the 37.5.
I do too.
If it does go over, they probably cover. But I'd like to just not worry about it, you know? So that's what I think for week one here with the Memphis football team. So, I don't
really. Here's the thing. You know what I just got? I just got money put in my FanDuel account, and I'm gonna smash that. I'm gonna smash the over on Memphis football.
They
do it.
They give you money. That's how they pay you now.
No, but I think there's a little bonus. I actually logged in. I have.
What are you doing logging in over there? Did somebody tell you about that?
You're just
flirting.
It's a new year. It's a new year. We got Jeffrey's Bet starting up Friday.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
You know?
That's right.
We got Jeffrey's Bet starting up Friday, and as you point out, I'm getting near retirement age. I need to bulk up my retirement accounts a little bit. So seeing how well John has profited, I see John, the way his life has changed. He's living in Germantown. He's got a pool, everything else. And if that's what it can do for John, I'm going to, you know, I have to crank it up a little bit.
A lot of work, man.
Smash the over.
A lot of work.
Smash the over.
North Alabama, again, I'm just helping out the masses here. North Alabama also played the second fastest pace last week, and it was not because of a negative game script. They were leading well into the third quarter of that game against SEMO. They play fast. They play fast. So, and their quarterback, by the way, is a former four-star Stanford commitment. So, you know, that's probably about as good as you're ever going to get at the FCS level for North Alabama.
I'm taking, so I have $215 in my account right now, right?
Jason ain't got nothing.
That's not all. That's cannot be bonus.
$215 and I'm going to put it on Memphis in the over.
Listen to this man.
You've been betting. He's been betting.
There's some reserves in there.
That's awesome.
You know, Jeffrey keeps me on, he keeps the money pouring in for me. You know, and now with this over bet, I'm going to go big on it.
If you could, let me ask you this: if you could play, if you could place one future NFL bet, what would it be?
It would be Bills under, of course, you know.
I mean, it might be correct.
That just fits. It's funny, though. I was looking at the stats. This is unbelievable. I was looking at, you know, people are Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson stuff. Just look at their playoff stats. This is a joke. Don't come at me with this. In the playoffs, I think this is right. Lamar Jackson has 6 touchdown passes and 6 interceptions. Josh has 21 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions. Like some, it's like maybe it's 26 and 3, whatever, it's something like that. It's ridiculous. Josh has completed 66% of his passes. Lamar Jackson 54% of his passes in the playoffs. Don't come at me with these are two equivalent quarterbacks. They're not. Josh is awesome, surrounded by a mediocre team. Lamar is great in the regular season, and he can't do anything in the postseason. They're not close.
Yeah, no, they're not. They are not. But you know, we love him.
Hey, real quick before we get you out here, can you educate John on something that he oftentimes gives me a lot of grief for?
Where's Juilliard?
Well, it's
Academy?
Not that. In
Juilliard.
This case.
I was driving along yesterday, and John had Juilliard in Nashville.
Davidson County.
That's how avid a listener I am. Davidson County. Yeah. Juilliard.
We got that one figured out.
In Nashville.
When you are a reporter or when you are a columnist, there will be many times that you will do an interview, right? And then whatever happens, perhaps you decide not to write the column. I know that happens in your case. The interview won't be used. Now, John has long called those, for me, fake interviews. He will say, well, here's Jason doing one of his fake interviews when he suspects I'm doing an interview where perhaps I am not going to use that interview either in a story or whatever else. Can you? I am assuming, Jeff, that you have had many a times where you did intend interviewing this person to use it and then maybe decided you didn't, but that someone that's been in your shoes has probably had thousands, hundred, maybe thousands, a little strong.
No, thousands.
Over the years, right? So he shouldn't be just giving me grief. This happens with reporters and columnists.
What is the circumstances under which this happens to you? For example,
Not nearly as much anymore, just because when we were going to do our interviews, folks know it's going to be on the radio or you know what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not so much back.
Well, no, there's no question. So there's two kinds of places where that happens. One is a lot of times you interview 15 people for a story and you use the 3 best people.
100%.
Right? Like you still write the story, you just happen to leave some people out. There was a recent one, though, for example, where I went and I interviewed, this was a guy who pulled himself up from the streets, and this was not a sports column, and he had a lawn care business, and it was just a human interest story about a guy who had gone from basically being unhoused to now he employs people and whatever else, and I never wrote that column. And I still feel bad about it. Though.
Well, but like, you I do, feel, I get
for
that.
One thing comes that. Up, another thing comes up, and I'm like, I feel bad that I didn't use it. But yes, there are definitely, they're not fake interviews.
Right.
There are certainly interviews that you don't use. John should stop calling.
They're done with integrity, John.
Yeah, they're fake interviews.
John, they're done with integrity.
They're just trying to, sometimes Jason will interview people knowing damn well he wasn't going to use them, but wanted to make them feel better. There's no doubt that you did that.
I don't believe I've used that tactic.
There's no doubt that you did that. There's like these sort of like, I don't even know how to explain it.
There are times, honestly, when media relations will supply people, right?
Yes.
They're like,
now,
yeah,
we've done,
5
we've
different
seen those.
People, and
John
one
started asking them, please not to. He got.
Well, yeah, and one person would be, with, and they know that no one cares, and so they would literally say, "Can someone just ask him some questions?"
No, like, you know, even the Grizzlies, you know, like when they would send us out to media day, like, you know, you get all the bums, right? You get all the, you know, you don't get the star players.
Not always. You get a good mix of bums.
Well, I didn't want the good mix. Okay, I wanted the players. Okay, and we would always tell Bennett, like, "Yo, please, bro, like, please, just let them know we're in the middle of a very hotly debated segment right now. We can't have him. We can't have, you know, I don't even know, Wade Baldwin. You know, like, there's nothing to ask this clown about." So, you working on your jump shot at all? I mean, that thing was disgusting last year. You're probably going to get cut in a couple weeks. But it's like
Bobby McCain was cut. It was a tough day, by the way, for Memphis defensive backs.
McCain.
Quindell Johnson cut.
Yeah.
Bobby McCain cut. There was someone else. Now, these guys can end up on practice squad.
They can. Yeah, but Bobby McCain's made his money,
I was going to say, he played a long time.
He's had a good career.
Yeah,
he has. A hell of a career.
No doubt about it. As have you, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
See ya. Bye.
Yep, he is Jeff Calkins. Joins us.
a lot of times, whenever, usually. Appreciate his time, as always. We'll come back, wrap this up. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
Leaders Credit Union. You guys know they're our studio sponsor. We're so grateful to them for that. We're trying to put out the good word about Leaders Credit Union. They've been in West Tennessee a long time. Expanded their business into Memphis. They've had that Bartlett branch there, though, I learned last week, for 3 years now. Got a new branch opening up in Arlington. They've broken ground on that. But they are intent now on really growing their business in Memphis. They're investing in Memphis. Leaders is in the community. Leaders Education Foundation is their nonprofit 501c3. It's awarded workforce readiness scholarship to 10 students across West Tennessee, including one here at Moore Tech in Memphis, a welding student. They are also sponsor of the Shelby County Pro-Am this summer, one of the sponsors there. So, like, I'm telling you, they're investing in Memphis. That's why we were out there last week, my wife and I, opening one of their future leader savings account for young Chris. Some benefits and some perks to that. Perfect attendance, straight A's. He can grow that money even more. He's going to get 5% APY, too, on that savings account. Constance helped us open up the account. She's been there for 3 years. She was wonderful. A financial champion. I've told you, they're not employees out at Leaders. They're financial champions here to help you. So they have been absolutely wonderful for us and continue to be, and they want to be wonderful for you. Leaders is federally insured by the NCUA, and they are your financial champion.
We're back, Jason and John. Thanks to Jeff for joining us on the show.
Jeff on Thursday, on Tuesdays.
Yeah, man.
But I kind of feel him. You're kind of holding him out there as a flex. And what he's saying is he really likes us, you know, one day for sure that he knows.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So you are kind of Ryan Hollinsing him.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely solidify that.
But we could have asked, and I'll bet you when he moved fish on Friday, on Tuesday, mm-hmm. I'll bet you he did that not knowing initially if he wanted to move him permanently, right?
Right.
And that's how that's literally, we're in the same boat. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, again, not to do this on the air, but I kind of like having, like, the first half of the week kind of spoken for, right? Like, having that kind of a, you know, a routine settle in, and then as the week goes on and things change and games happen, you know.
I like Jeff as a flex, but it's not in no disrespect whatsoever. Very helpful. There's not many guys that you can do that.
No, that's definitely true.
As we're talking here, when speaking of flexes, got the draft tomorrow night.
Very appreciative of all of our regulars, for sure.
100%.
Yeah, we do have our draft.
I'm looking
tomorrow.
At you two when I say that.
Yeah.
Are y'all ready?
No. I mean, my fantasy.
Yeah, you've been terrible the last couple of years. Brad actually had a resurgence.
He
back
did.
To respectability
he
last
did.
Year. Actually
two-time
third,
champ.
One point away from being in the championship in game fact, and would have won that.
Brad's got more.
Now, you did win it finally, right?
I've won it. And you've only won?
One.
Okay, so no one has more titles here than Brad.
Correct.
And so there should be some reverence.
There right, should be.
Perhaps when we're talking fantasy around Brad.
Now, his titles happened
year,
a long time ago.
I understand. Before, but yeah. I used to say before.
Go back
before
in the record book,
here.
Bro.
And then we also have to congratulate a man who came in and was very impressive last year in his first year in the 929 league. That's we didn't like to say it because we kind of resented it. How good was. Gabe Kuhn came right on in, and he showed us a thing or two about football. I'm going to bring him down a peg.
Happy for Gabe. If I might, though, I saw Dan Williams last night at the Touchdown Club of Memphis. Got a little selfie there. He is in this club of ours.
Big Dan.
And Dan, for an NFL player, and I love Dan. He's an awesome player, great defensive tackle for the Raiders for a short time, 2 years.
Cardinals,
great East standout. However, terrible at fantasy football.
So what you're saying is not all football guys are great at fantasy football.
I think that's fair.
And you're using Dan as the example. I want to make sure Dan hears that.
Dan, I love you. You're
so
awesome.
So that any matchup
and you're
he's with you,
the nicest freaking guy
in
the world,
you.
Too.
He's right? absolutely
is
wonderful.
Is there anybody nicer than Dan Williams, by the way?
No, Dan's nice.
Not many.
Dan's nice. I think the issue with Dan, as we've talked about before, is that Dan, without fail every year, I don't know if this is just a personal challenge that he set for himself or if it's like a dare, but every year Dan has to draft a black quarterback.
Well, I'm going to, because I knew this was coming. You understand that every year more and more of them
that's true.
Are black.
That is true. But Dan has never had a white quarterback on his fantasy team. Now, again, that's your choice. There are a lot of great black quarterbacks
how
in
many,
this league.
How many white runners, though, are giving you that? You got Josh. And that's it, right?
That's about it. I mean,
man, dude, come
about,
on.
No, but you got a lot of guys, though. You got Burrow.
But you would agree it's getting a little risky if you start, you know,
banking on the white legs
past
Josh Allen.
I'm just saying, like, not 1 year, though, has even if his current even if his black starter gets hurt, he will substitute in Snoop Huntley.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
You were going too far to make your point, as
usual. Yes, it is. That's what he does. But you know, again, that's Dan. I mean, again,
the question still stands. Second best white legs in the league of QB. Who? Go.
Probably Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
He's sneaky.
That's actually not a bad pick. Is he the one? I think. Am I missing anybody?
I don't think anybody's faster.
White athlete.
Yeah.
No, that's probably right.
Okay.
I mean, Burrow's not as fast as Trevor, I would say.
Well, especially now that he's had some injuries.
Right.
Yeah, he ain't looking to run as much anymore.
Yeah, so I'd say Trevor would be the guy. Okay.
It's kind of a drop-off there.
It is.
And so you see Dan's problem. You see what?
No, it's a real dilemma.
Yeah.
Did we get the order? Who's drafting first?
I don't think we had an order. I know this. I'll be 10th or something. You know,
but mean you'll get 13th in the snake draft.
We have a 10-team league now, so which is good because it pretty much guarantees everybody should have a good team, you know, for the most part, and you should get the players that you want to get. You know, I'm only in – this is the only league I'm doing so far.
Hey,
this
good. Right? We feel honored.
You can actually stay engaged this time and not be solid.
But I just have so much going on. It's like fantasy. I got to set my lineup. I got to remember who's in, who's out. It's just like, I'd rather not. I used to be
Taysom
like.
Taysom Hill, someone said.
Oh, Taysom. He's not a starter, though. He's a tight end.
Can't bank on Taysom Hill. You can't take him. That's right.
So, but thanks for that, you know.
He will run you over.
He will. There's no question about that.
On a part-time basis.
But, yeah, tomorrow Dan will draft a black quarterback. It should be a fun time. Yeah. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Calkins for joining us on the show. Thanks to Jessica Benson as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Hi, this is Bob Kessling inviting you to follow all the exciting action of Tennessee football all season long. 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station. Tennessee opens the season Saturday against Chattanooga at Neyland Stadium. Ball Network coverage starts at 9:45 a.m.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.